Well, welcome. This week we're talking about forgiveness. And, probably one of the questions that I get asked more often than any others in Rebuilders and Marriage Matters is this. How do you forgive someone? How do you forgive someone that has hurt you a lot? And I would venture to say that every single one of us in this room have been hurt. You have been hurt deeply by someone in your life, maybe someone in the past, distant past, maybe fairly recently. Maybe it was a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe an ex-spouse. It could have been something that they did or something that they said or maybe something that they didn't do or didn't say and you needed them to. Maybe you, as we talked about last week, maybe you have experienced the betrayal and the deep pain of having been betrayed by an affair. There's something else that has happened to you in the past by a parent or somebody else that has wounded you deeply. And whatever it is for you, I know this, your heart at some point has been hurt and has been harmed in ways that God never intended a human heart to be harmed. And you've had this thought, I don't know if I can ever forgive that person. What they did hurt so much and damaged me and wounded me so much, I don't know that I would ever be able to forgive them. And so the question is, how do you get to the point where you can forgive someone? Not just for minor infractions, but how do you forgive someone who has hurt you deeply and has wounded you? As I was, preparing for this several years ago and doing some study on the topic and some research, I was looking through the scriptures and I came across this verse, and I'll be really honest, this verse disturbed me. And you'll see why in a minute. And it says in Matthew 6, and this is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to a large group of people, and a lot of it was instructions for living, and he makes this statement. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I remember reading that and going, wait a minute. Because I understand forgiveness, that my forgiveness comes not because of anything that I've done, but because of Jesus' death on the cross, and it's a free gift. I get all that. It's amazing. But here, this verse is saying something in addition to that. It says, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive people when they hurt you or sin against you, your Father won't forgive you. And that bothers me. Because what that says is, and I don't understand how, because I do know that our forgiveness comes through Jesus' death on the cross and our acceptance of that. But somehow there is this intimate relationship between God's forgiveness of our sin and our forgiveness of other people. And a minimum level, it's God's way of saying, we can't just accept God's forgiveness, but then not forgive people the way that he forgave us. And so God calls us to be people who are forgiving other people. And so I went through this process of getting ready for this, and I thought about this just from my own standpoint, and I did some reading. There's a great book that Lou Smeeds wrote called Forgive and Forget. That I would encourage you to get if you want to do some more study on this topic. Some of the stuff, you'll hear me quote a few things that Smead said. But when I began to think about what's the process that you have to go through to forgive somebody? And so if you think about that somebody in your life that has hurt you, has caused you harm, and you haven't forgiven them, and you don't even know if you can forgive them, what do you do with that? And so I began to think about what's the steps, what's the process you go through? So I literally took a piece of paper and I drew, a column down one side and a column down the other. And on the one column on the left, and I put people who harmed me, what they did, the people who, what they need to do. I began to list, okay, if I'm going to forgive somebody, what does that person need to do? And then what do I need to do? And so what I want to do now is just kind of take you through my thought process as I kind of wrestled through that and see if it isn't, similar for you as well, all right? So the first thing I noticed was that I wrote down, I said, well, they have to deserve it. And every case is different. Some things, you know, seem to be, you know, more minor infractions, and it's easier for the person to get to the point where they deserve it. Some people, you know, sometimes people do egregious things, and I don't know if they'll ever deserve it. Certainly there's a period of time that has to lapse for somebody to deserve it. A lot of it has to do with their heart change. Do they feel remorse at all? I remember watching a TV show one time, and they were interviewing a woman who I think the situation was her son or her daughter had been killed, had been murdered, and they were talking about the person that killed her daughter that was now in prison, and I think somehow they'd had some contact or something, and they asked the question, have you forgiven him? And she said, oh no, I don't know that I will ever forgive him. You know, he will never deserve it. I remember those words. She said, I will never forgive him because he will never deserve it. And that made sense to me. And so I think that there are people in your life who hurt you who will never deserve your forgiveness. They will never get to the point where they deserve your forgiveness. I get that. Okay, so sometimes, I think it's different in every case. Some people, it seems like they get to the point where we can forgive them, and some people just will never get to that point where we feel like they deserve our forgiveness. Certainly, to get to the point to deserve it, they would have to change. And that was the second thing I wrote down, is that for somebody to get my forgiveness, they would certainly need to change the behavior so that I know that, you know, I'm going to prevent further harm. So if somebody is hitting me, somebody's slugging me and asking me for my forgiveness while they're hitting me, I would hope that I could get to a point where I could forgive that person, but I'm not going to forgive them until they stop hitting me. It doesn't make any sense to me to forgive somebody while the harm is coming. So at some level, I have to make sure that the harm that they have done to me has at least stopped and it's not going to continue. Then I can get beyond that and hopefully they've changed so that I don't have to worry about them harming me anymore or at least not in that same way. And then hopefully I can get to the point where I forgive them. So change is essential for somebody to get to the point where I could forgive them. Okay, so they can't keep doing the stuff that they've been doing to get. The third, and I'm not proud of this, I wrote it down and thought it's really kind of true. At some level, they need to pay, right? They've inflicted great harm on me, and I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying there's something in me that kind of feels like they need to experience some level of discomfort or pain, probably commensurate with what they've inflicted on me before I'm willing to forgive them. And I, you know, maybe that's just a period of time where they, you know, I kind of shun them or, you know, they feel the pain of the break in our relationship, but they've gone through some kind of a difficult process that gets them to the point where, I mean, if nothing else, that they'll appreciate that I forgave them. Okay, so at some level, they need to pay, okay? And some of you wouldn't admit that, but it's true for you too, right? Okay. And so I want them to endure some kind of pain that they've inflicted on me. Similar, doesn't need to be the same thing, just at whatever level that they've inflicted, that they've received some pain. And then finally, the fourth thing I came up with, they need to ask. You know, they need to get to the point where they can ask me for my forgiveness. You know, and you know, preferably begging, you know, on their knees, maybe crawling across broken glass and thumbtacks to get to me, and then kneeling before me and saying, I am so sorry, and if you could ever, just something simple like that. But it's some of them, they need to ask. I'm not going to forgive somebody that doesn't ask, right? Okay. I saw an article in our local paper here a little while ago about a guy that had been convicted of a murder here in town from about 2015. And there was this article that was written after his trial where he had been sentenced. And they were talking to the aunt of the woman who had been killed. And she said some interesting things. She says, I don't hate him, she said after the hearing. He's somebody's son. Somebody loves him too. No one was here in court when he needed them, regardless of, you know, his smirks or his attitude in court. So she's kind of saying, and part of me feels sorry for him. You know, he's somebody's son. And then it says, this is really interesting. Asked if she has forgiven him, she paused for a moment before responding. He never asked for my forgiveness, and I'm not his judge. I'll pray for him. She said, I'll pray for him, but no, I haven't forgiven him. He hasn't asked for my forgiveness, and so I think that that's really a part of it for all of us, is that we want the person, we feel like the person needs to at least at some level ask us for our forgiveness, all right? So that's what the other person needs to do. They need to deserve it. They need to certainly change their behavior. They need to pay. They need to experience some level of pain, and they need to ask. And I think if I get to those four things met, then I feel like I'm probably at a place where I can forgive the person, right? That's for you, whatever you can relate to of that. You can talk about that in your groups. So then I get to the column where I go, so what do I need to do? And I began to search the scriptures and read and think about, so what's my responsibility in forgiving somebody that's hurt me? And the first thing I did is I came across these two verses, Colossians 3:13 and Romans 5:8. And Colossians 3:13 says this, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as Christ forgave you. In other words, in the same way that Christ forgave you, you forgive them. Okay, again, here's kind of a disturbing verse. Because it doesn't say forgive people if they have, you know, a forgivable sin. It says forgive them whatever grievances you have against them. You know, if somebody doesn't, you know, if my wife doesn't call to tell me she's going to be late, I get kind of upset about that. I can forgive that, okay? But that's different than having an affair. But the Bible doesn't say there are two categories of sin against you, harm against you. There's the kind that's, you know, forgivable, but then there's the unforgivable ones. It says forgive whatever grievances you may have against the other person. Okay, well, let's move on to Romans 5:8, because that one's kind of tough. Romans 5:8 says this. So if it says forgive as Christ forgave you, then the question is, well, how did Christ forgive us? Romans 5:8 says this, for God showed his amazing love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or one version says, while we were still far from God, Christ died for us. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus and God says, if you get to the point where you deserve my forgiveness, then maybe I'll die on the cross. It says, one version actually says, while we least deserved it, Christ died for us, for our sin, for our forgiveness. And so if we're going to forgive people as Christ forgave them, it has nothing to do with them deserving it. Because we didn't deserve it when Christ died for us, all right? So God calls us to forgive whatever grievances. There's no differentiation between the forgivable ones and the unforgivable ones. And the other person deserving it has nothing to do with the forgiveness, all right? Then the second thing is, we talked about how we want the person to change so that the harm, you know, we could be guaranteed that harm wouldn't continue. But the reality is, we've talked about this here too, the only way that we can, you know, really instill that harm won't come to us is through having healthy boundaries. Because without healthy boundaries, we're putting the responsibility on the other person to make sure we don't get harmed. But there's no guarantee of that. And so if we're getting harmed, we need to have appropriate boundaries to make sure that it prevents harm for us in the future, all right? And maybe that means stop seeing that person, stop being with that person in the relationship until such time as you feel like it's safe again. Could even mean something as drastic as a restraining order. But it really doesn't have anything to do with that person changing, because we can't be guaranteed that we can't sit back and count on them changing so that we won't get harmed. So it really is about us having and putting in place healthy boundaries in the relationship, whatever we need to do. The third thing then, we talked about, you know, desire to have the other person kind of pay, kind of do that. As I thought about it, I thought the question is, who's really suffering? Think about this. If you haven't forgiven somebody, you are carrying around a gut full of bitterness that is actually harming you more than it's harming the person that you haven't forgiven. I'll tell you a story in a few minutes about that. But you think about that. If there's somebody that hurt you long ago, and you're still carrying that bitterness around because you haven't forgiven them, that bitterness is bothering you way more than the lack of forgiveness is bothering them. They're not losing any sleep over it. And so the reality is, when we haven't forgiven somebody, we're the ones who suffer. There is no way that we can somehow wait for them to experience the level of pain that we experience, because unforgiveness, the pain just keeps continuing for us. Not only the memory of what happened, but the pain of the bitterness just keeps going. So it really has nothing to do with them paying. It's about dealing with our own suffering and with our own bitterness. And then finally, you know, at least the last one seems obvious. They have to ask. And the reality is, no, they don't. Because it's not about them asking. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice that you and I make. It has nothing to do with them deserving it, nothing to do with them changing, nothing to do with them experiencing pain themselves, and nothing to do with them asking. Forgiveness is about one thing and about one thing only. And here's what it's not. Forgiveness, and if you hear nothing else today, hear this. Forgiveness is not about the other person doing or saying anything. And so for this woman to say, I haven't forgiven him because he hasn't asked, or somebody to say, I won't forgive them because they will never deserve it, misunderstand what forgiveness is. Because forgiveness, you're forgiving somebody that has hurt you deeply, has nothing to do with them doing or saying anything. At this point, there's nothing that they need to now do or now say that gets you to the point where you can forgive them. Because forgiveness is a choice. Bottom line, 100%, forgiveness is a choice. And it's a choice to release the bitterness. To get to a point where you say, you know what, I've been carrying this bitterness around maybe for a couple of years, maybe for 40 years. I've been carrying this bitterness around about this harm that was done to me, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to release that person. Forgiving them is I'm going to release that person from the responsibility of the harm that they caused me and not carry that bitterness anymore. And probably one of the most profound examples of this for me was a number of years ago. It actually was even before I started working here at Heartland with a previous employer. I got to the point in my career where I was looking to and probably ready for and heard a lot of people say that I was ready for a promotion that was going to really change the course, the trajectory of my career and what that was going to look like. And my immediate supervisor, made a decision to basically cut me off of that and did some things that were really hurtful to me, said some things to me and about me that were really hurtful to me, and made a decision in terms of the course of my career that changed my career permanently. And I was deeply wounded and really, really hurt and very, very angry for a long time. Even long after I had left that group and was here working at Heartland, and this is, you know, I love being here. I'm glad that God worked everything out for his good as he says he will. But I remember going through years of when I would hear this person's name, and you've been there, you know, where somebody that has hurt you, where you haven't forgiven them, and something jogs the memory to that person or that event or somebody says their name, and all of those feelings come back. And that bitterness just kind of boils in your gut, and it hurts, and it's just like, oh! And it just won't go away. And that lasted for me for a half a dozen years probably. And I remember one night, very clearly, lying in bed. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. I'm just lying there in bed. And then for whatever, I don't know what it was, but that person's memory came to me. That person came into my mind, and it all came back. And now I'm wide awake, and I'm, you know, anxious and angry because all that bitterness that was still there just kind of bubbled to the surface just because I thought of them. And then they lived a few states away, and I had this thought. Well, this is dumb. Because the thought struck me that that person two states away was probably in bed at the same time and probably sleeping like a baby. And I thought, wait a minute. It probably doesn't bother them at all that this is still really bothering me. In fact, there's a good chance that they don't even know that what they did hurt me. I don't think that the person was a bad person. And so here I am, 6 years later, lying awake, anxious and angry because of something that they did, and they're not losing any sleep over, and it's not bothering them at all. And I thought, that's not fair. And so it wasn't this, you know, gallant, godly thing that I did. I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. This is dumb. And so I forgave them. I just prayed a simple prayer. And I meant it. God, I'm releasing them. I forgive them for all that they did. And I'm not going to carry this bitterness anymore. Bless them. You take care of them. I don't know if I'll ever see them again. But I'm releasing the bitterness. And I got to tell you, that's all it was, and it was gone. To this day, I have never felt that bitterness again. Because I chose to release it. It was a choice. I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to choose to forgive them. Had nothing to do with whether they deserved it or changed or whether they experienced any pain at all, whether they asked. They never asked. I've never had that conversation with them. I've never gone to them and said, I want you to know I forgive you. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about our relationship. It was about me carrying bitterness around that I refuse to carry anymore. And I can't tell you the freedom I feel because of that. Several years later, I was here at Heartland one day, and the mail came. And this is really out of character. And I got an envelope from that person. Now, had I not gone through that process of choosing to forgive them and release their bitterness, I know that if I looked at that envelope, just seeing their name, all of that stuff would have come back up. Right? But it said I got the envelope, and I went, huh. Wonder why they're writing me. And so I opened it up. There was no anxiousness in me. And what, you know what? I just opened it up, and they had seen my name written up in something, and they just put a note on it and said, just thought you'd want to see the impact you're continuing to have. Some really nice thing that they sent to me. And I thought, well, that was really nice. And then a couple years later, I was up in Minnesota at a 50th anniversary for a Christian camp up there. And one night we were going to dinner, and I went by myself. Karen couldn't go, and so I drove up. And so one night for dinner, it was just a weekend thing, and I walked into the dining room, and all the people were sitting. And I went up to some friends of mine that were sitting at a table, and I said, do you guys have room at your table? I'm here by myself. And they said, sure, sit here. There's a seat here. There's two chairs right there with the napkins over them. Those are saved for somebody else, another couple, but you can sit here. I said, great. So I went to the bathroom and got a cup of coffee and came back and sat down. And the other two people had joined us. Guess who was sitting right next to me? That person. And we had dinner together. And it was great. We just caught up and didn't talk about that. Didn't feel like we needed to. It was a done deal for me. But again, can you imagine if I had been into that situation, suddenly found myself sitting next to them, and you know, 7, 8, 9 years later, I had still never forgiven them, and all that bitterness was there? That would not have been a fun evening. Had nothing to do with them. Anything that they said or did, it had everything to do with me making a choice to say, I'm going to forgive them and not carry that bitterness. So let's talk for a few minutes then about what forgiveness is not. The first thing is, forgiveness is not excusing the behavior. Lou Smeads in his book says, excusing is the opposite of forgiving. We excuse people when we understand that they were not to blame. So when we're mad at somebody for doing something and then we find out later that they didn't actually do it, we excuse them from the responsibility because it wasn't them to begin with. So forgiveness is not excusing them from responsibility. The second thing is, forgiveness is not forgetting. You're not going to forget the harm that was caused you. And that's where some people get confused because they think, well, I thought I forgave them, but I keep remembering that stuff. Well, the harm is kind of like an injury that has scar tissue to it. And, you know, when I was when I was wrestling in college, one of the things about wrestling, if you notice, we bump heads a lot. And so, you know, I got cut, and there's parts of your body, parts of your face that, you know, bleed easier, like your chin and your eyebrows. There's sharp bones there. And so I remember a lot of times in college driving myself to the ER after practice and getting stitched up. And so I've got a lot of little scars on my face from where it was split open and bleeding and where they sewed me back together, okay? The pain's gone. There's no more pain. But the scars are still there. I'm not going to forget that those things happen, and I have scar tissue to remind me of that. If you were harmed, somebody hurt you or did something to you that was very hurtful, there's probably scar tissue, and that's okay. And you probably won't ever forget that that happened. That's not the goal. But forgiveness is, again, releasing that person from the responsibility that to continue to hurt you through the memory of that. And so forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. My term. I think sometimes I wish it was. Sometimes I will have done something or said something to Karen that hurts her, and I realize it at the time. And because I just don't want to be, I want to get over it quickly, I'll just say, I am really, really sorry. Will you forgive me? And I'm waiting, you know, like, okay, forgive me right now so that we can just, like, say we're done with that one, okay? So a lot of times I think I want forgiveness to be a get-out-of-jail-free card. I want forgiveness to be, I admitted it, I was wrong, let's not hold me responsible for anything else. In fact, here's some advice for when you're the one that causes harm and you want to ask somebody for forgiveness, don't use the phrase, will you forgive me? Because that sounds like, in some sense, will you let me off the hook? And so here's what I've changed to saying, and I know this because I have to say this a lot, but to my boys or to Karen, I'll say, you know, I'm really, really sorry. And then I'll say, no question, I'll just say, I hope that you can get to the point sometime where you will forgive me. Which means the time frame, it's on then. I'm not going to put them on the spot to say, will you forgive me? Like right now. But I'm really sorry, and I hope that at some point you'll be able to forgive me. So in some sense, I'm asking for forgiveness, but I'm honoring the fact that that is their decision. It's their timeline on all that, okay? This is really important. The fourth thing, forgiveness is not saying that's okay. And we do this way too much. Somebody will do something to us, and then they'll say, I'm sorry, and we'll say, that's okay. No, it wasn't. It wasn't okay that somebody hurt you. But I think we kind of just reflexively say that. And so the first thing in our mind is to recognize that what they did was not okay, but I can forgive them. And so I don't have to get to the point where I can say to somebody, that's okay, to be able to forgive them. Okay? So be careful what you say. Saying I forgive you is a better thing to say. The fifth thing is that it's not a weapon. Some people use forgiveness as kind of this passive-aggressive weapon. I had a guy here at church one time that I recognized. I'd gotten to know him a little bit. I don't know if I remembered his name. I didn't know him well, but I knew who he was. He was an interesting guy here at church, came here regularly. And I remember one time, it was between services. You know, if you've ever been here, the crowd, just like the halls are just packed with people. And I was walking somewhere, and he came up to me, and he stopped me, and he said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. So I stopped, and I'm standing there with him, and he said, Gordy, I want you to know I forgive you. I said, okay, thank you. For what? Can you tell me what I did? He said, yes. One time, it was between services, and you were walking somewhere, and you were walking somewhere really fast. And I admit that a lot of times when I'm going somewhere, my brain is somewhere else, and I'll be focused and moving fast, like I've got to get somewhere to talk to somebody or a meeting or something like that. But he said, so you were walking kind of fast, He goes, and you looked right at me and you didn't say hi. And I was hurt by that. And he goes, and I said hi to you and you just looked at me and looked away and didn't say hi back. And he said, that really hurt me, but I want you to know I forgive you. I honestly don't know that I remember ever somebody saying hi to me when I intentionally did not say hi back and looked away. So whatever happened that time, he was, all I could say to him was, I'm really sorry. I said, I certainly didn't do that on purpose. And I don't remember that at all. But if that's what happened, I'm very, very sorry. But I think the reason that he wanted to say, I forgive you, because again, to forgive somebody, you don't need to tell them that you forgive them. That's because it's inside you that you're doing that. I think it was an opportunity for him, and I think when we tell people we forgive them, often it's an opportunity for us to say, I want you to know that you hurt me. And so it's more about, I want you to know that I forgive you because I want you to know that you hurt me. And probably more important for them that I know that I hurt him than that I know that he forgave me. And we do that at times, okay? So, and we do that in relationships with our spouse. You know, sometimes something will happen and our spouse will bring something up and we'll say, wait a minute, I thought you forgave me for that. We're kind of like holding them responsible. And don't use forgiveness as that kind of a passive-aggressive weapon. So here's the rule. Don't tell someone you forgive them unless they ask. Okay? Because there's really no reason for me to tell you that I forgive you if you haven't asked. Because then it usually means I've got some kind of a passive-aggressive agenda going on there. All right? Next, forgiveness is not blind trust. As I've told my sons many times, trust can be broken really quickly, and it takes a long time to rebuild. And when you break my trust, we will work to rebuild it, but it'll take a while. I remember one time when my younger son was probably in junior high, I would guess, we had the rule, we had the Xbox was in the basement, and so you had to have permission to be down there, and we limited time as much as we could, only like 18 hours a day, because we were really good parents. But I remember one time getting up in the middle of the night and going like go to the bathroom, a glass of water, whatever it was, and I think I hear something, and I think I see a light in the basement. I go down. Here at like 2 in the morning is my son playing Xbox in the middle of the night, like on a school night. And I was like, whoa, we got a problem here, okay? So you've just kind of violated all kinds of things. And so obviously there were some consequences for that. But one of the results of that, too, was it's going to take us a while to rebuild some trust. And we took the power cord for the Xbox away. So that whenever he wanted to play, he had to get the power cord from us and give us, get permission to play it. And I remember after a while, he said to me, I don't know, days, weeks, whatever it was, he said, you know what, Dad? You can trust me now. I said, good. I'm glad. He said, can I have the power cord back? I said, no. Well, you don't trust me. I said, I'm working on it. If somebody is when our boys were young, if somebody was babysitting our boys and Karen and I went away on a date night or something and then came back and found out that the babysitter had been inside on the cell phone talking to her boyfriend while the boys were outside and ran across the street and one of them almost got hit by a car, even if she felt really, really bad and said, I am so sorry, it will never happen again, I wouldn't say these words, but I would think that's true because you're not babysitting here anymore, okay? I can forgive you for that, but forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean I instantly trust you again. And so forgiveness is not blind trust. And then finally, forgiveness is not necessarily restoring the relationship. So Some people think, well, we've got to, you know, if I, in some of the extreme cases I've heard of people saying, well, if I forgive the guy that's in prison for killing my daughter, then I have to have a relationship with him. No, you don't. Forgiveness is not about, or if you've been in a relationship with somebody and they've done something to harm you, and for all the right reasons, the relationship has been, you know, severed, and you probably shouldn't have contact with that person. To forgive them doesn't necessarily mean that you're saying, I'm going to restore the relationship. It's not the same thing. And here's what I would say. Forgiveness does not require restoring the relationship, but restoring the relationship does require forgiveness. Does that make sense? So you don't need to have a relationship now with somebody because you've forgiven them. There's not a prerequisite of, you know, you have to be able to restore the relationship if you want to forgive them. But if you do want to restore the relationship and you haven't forgiven them yet, forgiveness is essential for you to actually put a relationship back together. You try and put a relationship together with somebody that you haven't forgiven, probably won't happen. Okay? And so what do we do with that? How do you apply this to your life? What are the areas? I mean, so the question is, who's harmed you? Where are you carrying around unforgiveness for people? Where are you carrying around bitterness? Maybe it was an ex-spouse, and you haven't forgiven them because, frankly, they don't deserve it, and they may never deserve it. And they won't ever admit that they were wrong. They certainly won't ever ask for forgiveness. But you're the one that's carrying around the bitterness. You're the one that's still suffering because you haven't forgiven them. What about somebody who's dead? I get this question a lot. How do I, the person that I haven't forgiven is my mom, and she's been dead for 10 years. So I guess I can't forgive her. Like, well, no. Based on everything that we've just said, forgiveness is something that you go through. It has nothing to do with restoring the relationship. They don't even have to be alive. And every time I've talked about this, I've had people that have come back and said, you know what, after that talk, I went out to the cemetery and I stood over my dad's grave and I said, Dad, I forgive you for all the harm you did when I was growing up, for not being there when you, whatever it is, you know, for the hurtful things you did to me, the, you know, things you said, for not being there, for leaving mom, whatever it is that I have. Dad, I forgive you for that. Or mom, I forgive you for that. And then I said, and how was that? And they said, I stood there and I wept for 10 minutes. Because it just came out of me. And the bitterness is gone. And, and maybe it's somebody who has done what we would think is unforgivable stuff. Maybe a drunk driver has done something or taken someone that you loved away. By what they did, or hurt someone in your family, or, you know. And what you need to know is that forgiveness is both a one-time event and it's a process. It's a decision, and you can do it right now in this moment. And there may be times it'll creep back in, and you'll have to remind yourself, not going there. I've chosen to forgive that person, and I'm going to live that way. Maybe the person that you need to forgive the most is in this room. Maybe it's the person in your chair. Because very often, the hardest person that we have to forgive in our lives is ourselves. When we think about some of the stuff that we've done over the years and the regrets, the kind of clenching your teeth moments where your memories, you just go, oh. And you think about people that you loved that you have hurt deeply. And you think, I can never forgive myself for that. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people say, I will never be able to forgive myself for that. Well, that's a problem. Because God can forgive you. And who are you to say, I don't deserve to be forgiven, even though God has said I deserve to be forgiven, and God forgives me, I'm somehow not going to forgive myself. Because then that not only hurts you, it hurts the people around you. And the people around you pay a price for the fact that you haven't forgiven yourself. And so maybe tonight, maybe the person that you need to choose to forgive is yourself, and to stop holding yourself responsible for the pain you caused maybe years ago, and to release yourself from that bitterness and from that responsibility. And so whoever that is for you, whoever is in your mind right now, whether that's you or somebody else or several people, here's what I want you to know. You can forgive that person right now. You can walk out of here tonight and leave that bitterness in this room. You can make that. There's no fancy thing you have to do. You don't have to stand up and turn around in circles and write a fire. You know, there's just, it's just a decision in your soul that just says, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to leave that bitterness here. I'm going to choose to forgive them and not hold them responsible for continuing to hurt me based on something that happened in the past. And it's a choice. And the choice is yours.